The key economic releases affecting fixed income yields. Insights into sectors influencing fixed income securities. How AAM plans to capitalize on these themes for your fixed income portfolio. The Portfolio Fix is a podcast series featuring members of AAM's investment and portfolio management team. We will discuss the timely issues affecting the fixed income investments of our insurance clients.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Portfolio Fix, a podcast series from AAM. My name is Patrick McGeever, and I'm a member of the investment team. Today we'll be speaking with Mike Ashley about the retail industry, but first we wanted to provide our regular update on key economic releases with Marco. So welcome, Marco.
Thanks, Pat.
So over the past week, we've received quite a few data points on the housing sector. What did we learn?
Well, we saw a modest decline in home builder sentiment, but confidence among home builders still remains at relatively high levels. We saw a rebound in housing starts last month, and more importantly, starts of single-family homes have risen for 6 consecutive months now, so that's a positive. And in addition, building permits, which tend to be a more forward-looking indicator, saw a 5% increase last month. So that suggests to us that housing is starting the fourth quarter on a strong note. We continue to believe, you know, low mortgage rates and a healthy labor market will continue to support the housing sector.
Okay. Finally seeing some of those interest rate sensitive sectors starting to perform better, which is great. We also received some PMI data for both manufacturing and services. Were those data points consistent with our view, or did they contradict our review of a slow economic growth in 4Q?
Well, I think the data that you're referring to, Pat, is produced by Market, which showed an increase in both the manufacturing and services sector. And specifically in the manufacturing sector, this goes somewhat against the consensus expectation that manufacturing will continue to be a drag on growth due to the continued uncertainty surrounding trade and weak growth abroad. I would note, though, that the more widely followed ISM non-manufacturing index remains below the break-even 50 level, which signals contraction in that sector, although it did show a slight improvement last month, which is a positive. At the end of the day, we continue to think the economy will grow at a moderate pace, somewhere in the 1.5% to 2% range, which will be primarily supported by personal consumption, but we're expecting manufacturing activity to remain weak.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. So one item that I find somewhat interesting is Chairman Powell's characterization of the U.S. economy. Yesterday he described it as being glass half full. And yet, last week we saw the index of leading indicators contract for the third month in a row. What should we make out of this?
Well, the leading indicators index is supposed to provide signals of potential changes in the direction for economic growth. In other words, provide signals for upcoming recessions or expansions. And there is a conventional rule of thumb that 3 consecutive declines in the index would signal a recession. A couple of points to that. First, the most recent declines have been very, very modest, declines of negative 0.2, 0.1%. Second, the Conference Board, which is the producer of the index, they suggest looking for downward moves of more than 2% over a 6-month period that would signal a recession. And the index is only down 0.2% annualized over the last 6 months. So we're not too concerned yet regarding what the leading indicator data is telling us. And like I mentioned earlier, we continue to expect the U.S. will grow at a moderate pace and avoid a recession over the next 12 months.
Great. That's very helpful and definitely contradicts some others out there that are calling for a recession based on that data point. So Lastly, Marco, maybe you can tell us what you'll be looking for over the next week or so.
Sure. Well, let's start the middle of the week. We'll get the second estimate for third quarter GDP growth. The consensus forecast is expecting no change from the initial estimate of 1.9% growth in the third quarter. And then away from that, other key economic data releases this week include consumer confidence. Obviously, again, our expectation that the consumer will continue to support economic growth. Consumer confidence, very important. Durable goods orders, personal income and spending, and finally, at the end of the week, inflation rates expectation continues to be for a modest increase in inflation.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Marco. It sounds like quite a bit of data that we have to keep a close eye on, but we'll do that and discuss how that information looks during our next podcast. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
You too.
Next, I'm joined by Mike Ashley, our retail analyst. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, Pat. How you doing?
Thanks. I'm doing well. Thanks. Mike has been with AAM for 17 years and has been involved in fixed income investments for 23 years. Your annual white paper on the retail industry is routinely our most popular. And I think this year, it probably carries more weight than at any time over the past several years, given how dependent the economy is on the consumer in light of weakness in other parts of the economy right now. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about the health of the consumer and what's behind your view.
Yeah, of course. So every year we put together this piece, and it's basically an outlook on the retail sales during the holidays, which is also a clearer reflection on how the consumer is doing, the health of the consumer and their willingness to spend. So we look at several different factors and try to come up with a number that we can put out there to kind of guide ourselves to what we think sales are going to be for November and December. So the main one that probably carries the most weight is just the general health of the consumer. And we look at 11 points of interest. These are all economic indicators, include things like employment, income, housing, and also things like gas prices, inflation, savings rate. So a lot of those factors we look at how they currently are compared to last year to kind of give a sense of the boost from these factors into consumer spending. So this year, the consumer seems very healthy. The factors versus last year are either neutral to or neutral to positive. But this is comparing a consumer that last year was very strong. So we think they've moderately improved this year. It should lend itself to confidence and higher consumer spending for the holiday season.
Okay. That's positive and consistent with what we've been seeing over the past, call it, 6 months. You frequently advise us that back-to-school spending has been a good indicator of holiday shopping trends. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about how back-to-school spending was this past year and what that suggests for holiday spending in the upcoming year.
Yeah, that's a good one. And it's one that maybe is not focused on as much, but back to school sales, which is August and September together, and we compare that to November and December. So there's a pretty strong correlation going back 20 years, close to 80% correlation between the two. So this year, back-to-school sales were 4.6%, and we're taking that from advanced retail sales numbers that are massaged a little bit on our own, taking things out like auto sales and sales from gas stations. So we take those things out and look at the rest of the numbers. We think it's a better representation of consumers' willingness to spend. Things like gasoline sales are based somewhat on the price of gas, so we think that's it's not representative of the health of the consumer, so to speak. So anyway, the back to school sales were 4.6% this year, and that is better than last year. Last year it was 4.1%, so moderately better than last year. The caveat is that last year the holiday sales were weaker than expected, and this was really a December issue. And yeah, during December last year, there was quite a few things going on.
Ton of volatility in December. Market just imploded.
Yeah, exactly. So there were a number of factors there. At the stock market was down 9% mm-hmm. in December alone last year. We had the government shut down. We had a lot of noise with Twitter noise with what Trump was putting out there in terms of trade and tariffs. So I don't think the consumer was ready for that, and I think it spooked consumers, and we saw that spending come down quite a bit in December. Just as an example, November last year was up 4.8%, and then December fell by 0.2%, and then January of this year, we were up again 4.6%. So you really saw December fall off in between two strong months. And for the most part, this year has been pretty strong as well. So it really was a bad month. So if you just look at the numbers when we talk about back to school versus holiday spending, that correlation wasn't so good last year. But we expect it to be stronger this year. There's been noise this year, but it feels like the consumer is getting used to it, and it's not being really reflected in their spending month to month.
Okay. One of the things you do is you break down retail spending trends into many different subcomponents, including department stores, online purchases, motor vehicle parts, food and beverage, etc. What do you think is the most important trend that you've observed over the past year? And is there anything that's surprised you?
Yeah, good question. So we look at the advanced retail sales from the Census Bureau as breaks down into several different categories. And as far as trends go, the big trend has been online spending, e-commerce. And that's represented in non-store retail spending in the advanced retail sales numbers. And year-to-date, that number's up 12.7%. And that represents almost 13% of total retail spending. And that number strips out and includes the online sales from the big guys like Walmart and Target, and also obviously includes Amazon. So that's been a huge trend. We expect that to continue to grow. We don't see it slowing down anytime soon. We think that that will help overall retail spending. And as that evolves and gets more popular, it's only going to help the overall spending during the holiday season and non-holiday season. So that's definitely something that's going to continue to happen. Away from that, yeah, it's been pretty consistent across the other categories. Nothing really has stuck out. The other thing that we've continued to see being hurt are department store sales. The Macy's and JCPenney of the world, those are down year-to-date 5%. So that's something that we continue to see being hurt. And, when you look at the headlines or you're watching the news and you hear about mayhem in the retail industry. Those are ones that people usually point to. But I think you have to step back and get some perspective there, because that represents a pretty small percentage of total retail sales.
How much do department stores actually make up now?
It's like 2-3%.
Okay, pretty small.
Yeah, pretty small amount of when you look at the broad spectrum of retail sales that department stores represent. So just because they are undergoing some stress, I don't get too concerned about the overall retail environment.
Okay. One of the topics of the year really has been tariffs. How have tariffs been, I should say, how have retailers been dealing with tariffs so far?
Yeah, it's another big issue that's happening right now. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air and difficult to follow, you know, which tariffs are happening, for how long will they last, they're being pushed back, when do they start, what do they represent, all these kind of questions are calling into question here. Coming into play. As far as we're concerned, the larger players are going to suffer the least amount of damage. They're the biggest, the broadest, have the most negotiating power. They're going to be able to kind of share the pain with their vendors and spread it across all their different partners. These kind of bigger guys have already diversified their supply chain and will continue to do so. So it just hasn't started their supply chain from China. They've been moving away from that and into other countries like Vietnam or Cambodia, Indonesia. So this is slowly happening, which is a good thing, and especially a good thing right now. But as far as is how this is impacting spending for the consumer, we think this is trades and tariffs are more of an issue for the retail, the retailers, and less of an issue right now for consumer spending. And the reason is because during the holiday season, shoppers are really geared up for the best prices. They're very well equipped to find the best price. Where and when, it's all on their iPhones, it's on their computers, it's being emailed to them. So it's going to be very difficult for retailers to increase prices during this time of year. I think when where we'll see maybe some challenges is beginning of next year, when the pressure of the holiday season is off. I think you'll see the retailers try to push through prices, and then at that point we'll see kind of how the consumer reacts to that.
Okay.
So I think that'll be a good test next year.
Okay, so far tariffs have been mainly a retailer issue, and then we need to monitor very closely in the upcoming year if that bleeds over into the consumer sometime in like the first quarter.
Right, yeah, okay. And at that point maybe we'll know more from more about which tariffs are out there, and are they getting rolled back? Are they been increased? You know, every day it seems like it's another tweet from Trump saying, you know, we're looking at this, now it's off, now it's on. So it's kind of touch and go at this point.
Okay. Maybe we can wrap up by talking about relative value. Generally speaking, does the sector offer much relative value at this point, and are you more inclined to add or reduce exposure in the near term?
Yeah, it's a good one. The retail sector is very broad. It includes credits like Walmart, which are it's the AA credit, all the way down to a Macy's, which is a low BBB credit. So there's a lot of diversity there. I think there are some opportunities, but some things to definitely be concerned with. At this point, there are certain names that we like. CVS, if you can still call it a retailer, we at this point we still do. We like CVS. We like Kroger. Target has done a great job executing on its strategy, but Target doesn't have a lot of value. It's trading around Walmart levels, which is it probably shouldn't. It should probably still trade wide of Walmart. So, and we continue to like names like Home Depot and Amazon. You know, really good credits there, but right now with where the OAS is on the Barclays index, it doesn't seem to be a good time to be buying into those higher quality credits. During times of high volatility, we've seen these companies come to market, and that seems to be a much better opportunity to buy the high quality guys. Right now, it doesn't seem like a great timing on that front.
Okay. Well, Mike, thanks for the update on the sector, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too, Pat. Thanks.
Thanks. And thanks to you for listening to the Portfolio Fix. On behalf of AAM, I'd like to wish you a happy Thanksgiving holiday as well. If you have questions about anything we discussed today, please reach out to your portfolio manager or contact our marketing team at aamcompany.com. That's A as in asset, A as in allocation, M as in management, company.com. During our next podcast, Marco will review the economic data points he spoke about earlier, and we'll be joined by Sebastian Bacchus, who will provide an update on financials, including the community banks. We hope you'll join us. Thanks.